Prayerful Melanie, that you received a healing in the midst of your worship. That's how it should be, shouldn't it? I mean, we should be able to receive a healing or a touch from God in the midst of our worship. Because God's a now God, not later. He's now. And God can move now. Beautiful, beautiful songs, beautiful worship this morning. Thank you. Our children have an offering they want to give this morning for the last kids' offering for the year. They can do that at this time and go back to their seat. And if they're real little, they can go back to Mr. Randy. They want to do that. We'll be turning to starting Luke chapter 4 this morning. Luke 4, talking about healing now. Me and Christian went to the Billy Graham Library on Wednesday. I took her down there. She's never been before. So I took Christian down, and we experienced that together. And as you go through that library and you realize, see all the years of ministry of Reverend Graham and the millions of lives that heard the gospel, you saw the mass crowds. But there was pictures on the library and posters of, you know, 200,000, 400,000, 1 million people gathered together to hear the gospel. What makes so many people, what draws some people to that point? Because they're hungry and want to be filled. They want something more than themselves. They want something more than what their flesh craves. Because as we know, we understand, let's not fool, you know, we can't fool ourselves. We understand that sin can be pleasurable for a season, but it leaves a path of destruction behind it. And that's the difference. Whereas following Christ does not leave that path of destruction, but it leads to a path of everlasting life. There's something about the gospel that people crave because it gives them something they can't get anywhere else. You can't find peace in a bar. You can't find peace through drugs. You can't find peace through sex. You can't find peace through clubbing and partying and entertainment. You can't find peace through all your hobbies or all your habits. You can't find real peace there. Because all you're doing when you do those things is you're masking a deeper problem. You're masking a sickness that only Christ can heal. You're masking something that still remains. And what Jesus does is he takes it out by the root and brings a complete divine healing in your life to where even the root of that problem no longer exists. So we're going to talk this morning about healing now as we celebrate this last service of 2018 and how we today can receive healing in our lives. This is what Jesus came to do in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. It says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. This is not talking about those that don't have any money. It's talking about those that are bankrupt inside. He came to preach the good news to the poor, to those who needed it, to those who needed something more than themselves. We all are craving something more than ourselves. Think about where we have gone in this world, church. We have gotten to such an extreme position in our culture of people hungry for truth that people don't even know if they're a boy or a girl anymore. Now think about this. We've gotten to a point, not only can we not identify with Christ, we can't even identify with our own self. What am I? Who am I supposed to be? What did God create me to be? And we are fighting against the very thing that God came to do. God didn't come to push us away. He came to draw us to him. Just like the prodigal son where the father says, here I am. I'm here. I'm not going to reject you. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm here to receive you and give you what you need. Because in my father's house, there is love. In my father's house, there is peace. In my father's house, there is healing. In my father's house, there is breakthrough. In my father's house, all your needs can be met if you come to the father's house. And that's why he came to this house, to bring the healing that we need. We have a young generation, many that are struggling to identify what their purpose in life is and where their footprint is supposed to lie. What do I do from here? See, I feel very fortunate in my generation. In my generation, I knew what I wanted to do, and I just went out and did it. In my parents' generation, the same way. You had 18-year-old kids fighting in wars, coming home and starting a family and a job. My generation, the same way. got out of school, started a job, started a family. This generation is so different because the culture is so different. And I'm burdened for what I'm seeing because so many don't have a vision of where they're supposed to go. And the way we know how we're supposed to go is to place all of our faith in Christ, say, Lord, take my steps, take my vision, take the plan, and you roll it out before me and let me follow what you want, not what I want. It's not about us, it's about what he wants us to do. It's about serving him, not about serving us. And when we get to that point, we'll begin to walk in the paths God has prepared for us. Jesus came. Now, what he's quoting, to give you a little preview, he's quoting Isaiah here. Jesus is. He's quoting the prophet Isaiah. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. There is nothing greater than a broken heart. We can fix a broken leg. We can get a new job. We can get a new house or a new car. You can even get a new wife if you so want. But you know what you can't? What's hard to fix is a broken heart. Because we carry that pain inside and nothing can seem to fix it. You know, the pastor says all the right words and your family comes to support you in rallies and says all the right words, but they don't hear anything you're saying because the brokenness is more powerful than the words being spoken and nothing affects it. But when we allow Jesus, the power that he is, to come in to our brokenness and to come in and begin to put those pieces of the puzzle back together and pull us out of the ashes that we're in because of what the devil has done to our lives or what we've allowed him to do through defeat, through discouragement, through addiction, through whatever he's put in our lives. We find ourselves there and we are broken and nobody seems to be able to help us. But there is one that can help you. There is a hand that can touch you. There's a man that passes your way. There's a savior of the world, a deliverer of his people. There is someone who steps into your life and can make all things new again. All things are passed away, and you can today become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. He can give you what you need because he's that kind of God, and every need can be supplied. Every provision can be made. Every sickness can be healed. Every bondage can be set free. Every door, cell door, gate can be unlocked. Every chain can fall because Jesus came to set you free now, today, in this moment, right here. Here, glory to God, not tomorrow and not next week, but as Melanie got her touch, so can you right now, today, get what God has for you, because he's a present God right now. He's not a distant God or far away. He's right now, and he came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to preach deliverance to the captives. Aren't you tired of being a slave to your sin? Aren't you tired of being a slave to what the devil's put in front of you? Aren't you tired of being a slave to depression, discouragement, fear, anxiety, anger, bitterness, jealousy? Aren't you tired of being a slave to those things and the devil keeps you in that state? Jesus can set you free today and bring healing to where you don't carry those burdens into the next year anymore. You can have peace in a broken generation. You can have peace in a fallen world. You can have joy where sorrow's all around. You can have light where darkness engulfs you because Jesus is the light which cometh down from heaven that lighteth the way for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. The light of Jesus has not been extinguished. It's not been put out. It's very much alive and it's shining like a beacon, like a lighthouse saying, follow this and you will be safe. Follow this and you will not drown. Follow this and you will not crash. Follow this and you will not be destroyed. Follow the light to the place I've placed you and walk in the destiny I prepared for you. For this is the day the Lord hath made. It is time to rejoice and be glad for the day you are in. Hallelujah. You are here on purpose. You are here by a plan. You are not an accident. You are not a drunken moment. You are here by the divine order of God. He breathed life into you on purpose. You are meant to be born the exact day you came to the earth. And God has a greater plan for you than you've ever had for yourself. That's what he came to do. But we've got to begin to walk in the healing that's available to us. If I said I had a bottle of magic pills,
Half of y'all get real excited. I understand that. If I said I had a bottle of magic pills, and you take this pill, and your problem is fixed like that. Whatever it is. Cancer, gone. Gone. Anxiety, gone. Fear, gone. Addiction, gone. Whatever you're facing today, hopelessness. Don't you see that in this world? Hopelessness. Such a spirit of hopelessness. Where does my hope come from? The government don't give me hope. My job don't really give me hope. Even in my own family, sometimes I don't feel hope. Where do I gain my hope from? My hope comes from God, the creator of all the world. But if I had a bottle of magic pills that said would fix any issue you had today, all of you would be at this altar and you would willingly and graciously and humbly take it with expectation of your healing or your deliverance. Well, there is a pill today. Jesus is the answer to fix whatever problem that you have. Yes, we go through hardships, and I'm not here to say that all of our lives are roses and gardens, but we go through battles, we go through storms, but we don't go through them alone. But we are not battling alone. The Lord fights our battle for us. He goes before us. He goes ahead of us. He's over us. He's around us. You heard the song. He's our protector. He's our provider. He's our deliverer. He's an awesome God. He is everything we need. He is mighty. He is great. He is wonderful. He is holy. He is perfect. He is pure. He is God. And there's no name above any name other than the name of Jesus Christ. No name. Everything must bow. We tend to think of that as, yes, I know the devil will bow. The demons will bow. All humanity will bow. But fear has to bow. Defeat has to bow. Discouragement has to bow. Addiction has to bow. Bondage has to bow. Mental illness has to bow. Do you hear me? It has to bow at the name of Jesus. If Jesus can set free that demonic man at the graveyard, he can set you free. You are not too far gone to be saved by the grace of Jesus. Don't you give up and don't you give in. But you stand tall and declare, Lord, I call upon you, my healer, to come into my life and set me free. By faith, I believe that you died, that you rose forevermore, and that you live inside of me, and that you're my God, and I'm your child, and you will never forsake me, and you will never stop loving me. Two things God showed me over here Friday, I was working, or Saturday, whenever I was. Two things I wrote down that the Lord put in my heart. There's two things, if we could get these two revelations in our spirit, it would change our outlook on God. Two things. Number one, God will never stop loving you. Never stop loving you. And the second thing, God will never leave you. Think of those two things right there. God, you're never going to stop loving me, and you're never going to leave me. My God, how can I not have peace and assurance and hope and rest in that? No matter how bad I've been, you're still going to love me. No matter how far I try to run, you're not going to leave me. Remember what the psalmist says. If I go in the heights of heaven, you're there. If I go to the pit of hell, you're there. I can't escape you, God. Everywhere I go, you're there. If you're on the moon this morning, God is there. If you were 6 miles in the ocean, God is there. If you're in a different galaxy, God is there. You can't escape the presence of God ever. Hallelujah, that ought to give you peace. To know healing can be yours today, right now. He gives recovery of sight to the blind. He opens up the eyes of those who can't see the truth and love of God. Now, of course, physically he can heal us too. But I want to go a little deeper than that this morning because so many people are blind to the fact that God's love and redemptive work is for them. And they don't understand how they can walk in this fullness of grace in Christ themselves. That it's all about something they've got to do, they got to prove, or does God really love them? Does God really save them? They don't understand the truth. The song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, that I may see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, that I may see you. See, when I look at Melanie, I fell in love with her 28 years ago. And I'm still in love with her most days. And when I look at Melanie, what I see is the beauty that she is. I see who she really is. Some of y'all have opinions of Melanie, but I've got the truth about Melanie. I live with her for 26 years. We've been married. And when I see her, my eyes have been open to see the beauty that she is and all that she offers to my life. So many people don't see all that God offers to their life. They hear about God. Yeah, he's this guy with a long white beard on the throne. I am God. and I do lightning bolts with my hand. Thunder and lightning. That's what we picture God as. But when we see God as He loves me forever, He hears every word that I say, He knows every thought that I think, He sees every tear that I shed, every laughter that I make, every step that I go. He sees my uprising and my downsitting. He sees me wake up in the mornings and go to bed at night. He's in my car as I travel to work. He's at my workplace as I'm there. He's at the ball game that I go to. He's at the grocery store where I shop. He's at the gas station where I fill my tank up. Everywhere I go, God's presence is right there. And He loves me. He protects me. He keeps me. And He's made some promises to me. He made a promise in 1 Peter that we have an inheritance that is undefiled, that's uncorruptible, that fadeth not away, that's reserved in heaven for us. This is the God that I serve. See, marriages that don't work most times is because, a lot of times, is because the two people stop working with each other. When your relationship, Angela had a really good, she put something on Facebook a few weeks ago, really was a good word she put about relationship with God and how that many Christians, they're going to heaven, they love God, they know God, they believe in God, but they don't have a real relationship with God. Relationship, you have to put something into it on your part. Relationship's not one-sided. It's us also talking to God. It's us going to God. It's us fellowship with God. How can we know someone if we don't spend time with them? I guarantee you, Jewel can tell all the good and the ugly and the bad about Chuck. She's been married to him, lives with him. She knows him. She has a relationship with him. She talks to him. She beats him. She hits him. What I'm saying. You know, she keeps him in line. She knows him. How much do we really know about God? Well, I know He died on a cross, and He's a good man, and He made the whole world in His hands, you know, and He's somewhere out there. I can't really see Him, but I believe there's some kind of deity that controls everything, and I believe He does love me, I guess, and that's kind of somewhere of a stop. We've got to know who God is. God loves us. God never leaves us. God protects us. God helps us. God hears us. God holds us. God touches us. God directs us. God leads us. God speaks to us. I know some of you may have a hard time with that. God still speaks to us. We've got to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. But God is clearly, I know we have His Word, I get that, but also God still speaks to us directly. He may not speak in a voice like I'm speaking to you today. You may not hear it that way, but you can still hear what God is saying to you, and you will know. Relationship is important, and many people are blind to the idea I can actually have a relationship with God. Not just hear about Him, but have a relationship with Him. And look at this. He came to set at liberty them that are bruised. If you ever had a bruise, you know how that feels. It's tender and it's sore. Somebody touched it, it hurts. When you're bruised, you're soft, you're tender. You can't bump into things. It hurts. Many of you have been bruised by the things of life. You've been bruised by the enemy to where you're hurting right now. And God can just take that hurt and wash it away. He can take the hurt and the pain and remove it out of your lives. I don't know how He does that. I just know He supernaturally can do that. Here's the Bible says that He can give a peace which passeth all understanding. Which means this, I shouldn't have peace, but I do. By my situation, there's no way I should walk in peace right now, but somehow God has given me peace in the middle of my storm. I needed that peace on our cruise. I didn't have that peace in our cruise. I really needed that peace bad. Melanie was my faith giver on that ship. I should have been the one. I was freaking out like a 3-year-old girl. No offense to 3-year-old girls. But I was panicking. Melanie said one time, says, James, look, pretend Jesus out there walking on the water right now or something like that. I said, but the point is he ain't, Melanie. He ain't walking on water. I mean, everything he's trying to help me with, I would come back with something negative. I even told her, I said, should we call the kids and tell them, it might be over? I mean, I was bad. I mean, man. Man, I wish you probably had a Xanax to give me or something. I mean, I was off the hook. Oh, I was so scared. I needed that peace. I should have known, you know, really. I even asked Melanie, do you remember where our muster station was? I want to make sure I got the right one. And that's the place you go to get on your boat in case the ships are sinking. They have little boats called muster stations. Each one's assigned to your little boat. So I want to make sure we knew where our little boat was. I didn't want to be like no Titanic, you know, run out of boats. Hey, preachers first. You coming, Melanie? Anyway, I needed some peace. Oh, my gosh, I needed peace. But you know what? We battle things in lives every day. The devil robs us of our peace. You know, we can't sleep at night because of it. We stress because of it. We don't eat because of it. Melanie's thing is, she's always said, you know, peace is everything. If you've got peace, really you've got everything. Because you can have joy and not have peace, you know? You can have hope and not really have peace sometimes. But when you have peace, it's all going to be all right because God's in it. Next, go ahead, Brendan. This is Isaiah 53:5. Look at this. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus paid the price to where we can have peace and we can be healed from the sickness of sin and death. I don't have to fear that anymore. I don't have to worry about what happens in my next breath of time, because I have full assurance that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor anything can separate me from the love of Christ. Death does not separate the Christian from the life in Christ. The death of our flesh does not separate us from life in Christ. Jesus came to do that. He took on our iniquities. He took on our transgressions, that now we can have peace and know that we are healed and we are made whole. We can have a right relationship with God again. The relationship was broken before, because remember what the Bible says? The priests would come daily ministering their offerings, and their daily offerings, Hebrews talks about this, their daily offerings could never take away sin. They would go through the motions, but it didn't take away sin. But after this man, Jesus, went in once and for all, once and for all, he obtained eternal redemption for us. So God, I know where my home is, that you went to prepare a place for me, that where I am, where you are, there I will be also. So I know I'm going to be with God forever because of what he did here at Calvary. That's why Jesus did not open his mouth. That's why he went, as the Bible says, he went like a sheep to the slaughter and did not open his mouth. He didn't try to resist crucifixion. He didn't try to run away from it. He didn't try to say it's not fair. He did pray in the garden one time, says, Lord, you know, this ain't the greatest thing I want to do. I sure ain't looking forward to it. If there's any other way, I'm down with that. But if not, your will be done. He went to that, rode on that donkey, turned himself in, surrendered himself to the whipping post, knowing he'd receive 39 stripes, knowing he would be crucified. The most gruesome death ever was crucifixion. A person would suffocate to death, how they die. They nailed them in a way on the cross that they would have to try to gasp for breath to the point they couldn't gasp no more. And Jesus actually suffocated to death. His last breath became our forever breath. Think about that. That's the price that he paid, that we could be healed today. We could walk in wholeness and our lives be put back together. There are battles in every one of our lives. There is battles. Every one of us has something we go through. As your pastor, I know many of your problems. You talk to me, and I could go around the room, and many of you are dealing with all kinds of things. Things in your family, things in your marriages, things with your kids, things with your grandkids, you know, things with your finance, things with your health. You're battling all of this stuff. But he is the one that brings healing, and him alone. Next verse. We'll close out with this in Matthew 11. Jesus says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Oh, I'm so tired of being heavy. So tired of carrying the weight. So tired of being burdened down with things of life.
Jesus says, if you'll come to him, doesn't say come empty-handed, come heavy. I'll unload your burden. Think about it. If you've ever been to Gordon's Metal Scrapyard here in Statesville, you go on these scales, right? You load up, you go on these scales, and you weigh. The car and the truck and the metal, you weigh it. You go unload it. You come back, they weigh it again. It does it by pounds, of course. The difference is what you get paid. We come to Jesus like that. We're weighted down with all of this stuff. But we come back around, and now we're free. He's unloaded the mess off our lives. There's no other rest greater than to rest in the Lord. Rest in God. Because I know if I've really, and I'm serious, I try to stay up with current events because I feel like I need to as a pastor and as a human being. But I have really reduced my consumption of news watching. I don't watch a lot of news anymore. For two reasons, those two. One, I don't believe most of it I hear anymore. And number two, is it so depressing and so discouraging, and it keeps your mind totally on what's wrong and not what's on right. Understand this. There were things happening 100 years ago, 200 years ago, just like they are now, but there wasn't TV to show it. You didn't hear about it. I mean, earthquake happened in China in 1900. You didn't hear about it. I mean, you might have got it through some kind of paper. I guess they had newspapers back in. Yeah, they had paper back in. You might have got it through a paper or something, but you didn't hear, you know, you didn't get a little message pop up. Boop, boop. I mean, I'm going to un-app it. Because I got an app that has a thing that shows all the local news, anything pops up from a wreck to a storm to, I mean, everything. It's always popping up. It's too depressing. Three murdered in Charlotte, you know, wreck on 40, two killed. Why do I have that on my phone? Why does that keep popping up? It's a constant reminder of how miserable life can be. Right? So what I need to have is scriptures popping up, right? Somehow wired in my day to when something's going on, the right scripture pops up. Boop, remember who you are. Watch your mouth. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder. So I've really reduced my consumption of that because we can get so caught up. Here's the deal. I know we got a controversy now with the government shutdown, blah, blah, blah. Here's the deal. God ain't shut down. Heaven ain't shut down. The blood ain't shut down. And no matter what happens on this world, God is in control of it all. You know why? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole big wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Sing it with me. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. What are you worried about? What are the hands you want it in? Whether you do or don't like our president, Trump ain't bigger than God. Iraq ain't bigger than God. Your Social Security check ain't bigger than God. Y'all know that. It ain't bigger than God. I mean, think about it. There ain't nothing bigger than God. And you're heavy and you're, come. He says, I'll give you rest. Look at the next verse, 29. Take my yoke and learn of me. Follow me, he's saying. Follow my ways. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. See, a yoke is something that pulls you. Think about this. Some of you may be bound with the yoke of unforgiveness, the yoke of anger, the yoke of resentment, the yoke of rebellion, the yoke of being unloved, the yoke of no direction, the yoke of discouragement or fear or whatever it is that's binding you. Those are hard things to carry. I've often said it's much easier to love everybody. And this isn't a hippie statement from the 60s. I'm being honest. This is a God statement. It's easier to love everybody than it is to have harbored ill feelings toward everybody. It is so much easier to walk in love toward your fellow man than harbor unforgiveness. Because that's a yoke that's hard to bear. Because, man, you're not free to be who God made you to be because you got these walls you got to always keep up. Well, I can't let them in my life. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't. And it keeps us bound. It's a hard yoke to carry. Some of you here are fighting depression. You're fighting so much depression. That's a hard yoke to bear, depression. It controls your life. Some of you can't get out of bed because of it. You can't go to work because of it. You can't have any social life because of it. You can't eat because of it. Depression is a yoke in your life that's hard to carry.
Fear might be a yoke in your life. Fear of the unknown. Fear of what's next. Fear of tomorrow. Fear of what's going to happen. Fear is a hard yoke to carry, because as long as you're walking in fear, you can't ever walk in peace and enjoy what God has now. But when you take on Jesus and say, Lord, I need rest, his yoke's easy. You know why? Because he does all the work. Do you know that? God does all the work. I'll give you joy. I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest. I'll give you hope. I'll give you direction. I'll give you what you need. Just trust me. The problem is, many times it doesn't happen fast enough for us, so we think God missed the mark. No, it's just not your season yet. Everything has a season. This will be the last time you see the Christmas stuff up till next year, because the season is over. This will all be gone next Sunday, because the season has finished and this will be no more. There's things in your life that when the season is right, God will bring it into your life. Wait on it and trust it. Because God's not moving now the way you want doesn't mean God is not moving. Trust him. Next verse. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Being a Christian and letting God control your life is a much lighter burden than carrying the things of the world. That's why we're so sick, because we're carrying all the weight of the world. Enjoy your time now. For our teenagers, for Anthony and Taylor and Ashley and Destiny and Chance and Selena and Ivy and almost Zoe. For our and Leanna and Olivia. For our teenagers, enjoy your life. You know, me and Bill were teenagers at one point. We really were, I promise we were. And we had a good time, didn't we? We enjoyed life, didn't we? We really enjoyed life. And now I see such a burden on some of our younger generation that can't seem to enjoy life. And I'm going to enjoy it cleanly, teenagers. Do good things. I'm not talking about going out and party like it's 1999. Those days are over. That's past. Enjoy life. Man, you got the whole world at your fingertips at 16, 18. Man, you're coming into a brand new world. Embrace it and enjoy it. Don't worry about what tomorrow may bring. I mean, just enjoy today. I'm really trying to be more like Melanie, and I'm so not wired that way. We couldn't be wired more opposite. I mean, we absolutely, Melanie is such a wait the last minute to worry about something, or sometimes she's more of a procrastinator, and I'm more way out here. It drives me crazy, and I drive her crazy, and I get that. But you know what? Melanie has the right concept. Whatever's happened today, I'm going to rest. God will take care of it. I'm going to go to sleep. I'll wake up in the morning. It's like Scarlett O'Hara, right? I'll worry about that tomorrow. Or like Wimpy on Popeye. Remember the old Popeye cartoon? I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. Oh, me. Church, we can have healing this morning. Melanie, pick something. Come up here and get a song. Just, I want something that's appropriate. Just kind of go up here and see if you can find something for this end of the service. Marjorie's not here today. Peyton is sick, so she got to take him to the hospital this morning. Yeah. A medical clinic, yeah. But we want to leave this place today. If you're burdened and you're bound and you want to leave stuff in this year and you want to start a brand new year, a brand new way, that can happen right now today in your life. You know, we tend to wait and think we'll fix it ourselves. I'll handle it myself. I'll push it away and it'll be okay. And I know some of you are thinking, you know what, I've come to God, I've talked to God, I pray to God, nothing's happened, nothing's changed, I'm discouraged, God can do the impossible. The Bible says there's nothing impossible with God. No matter what you are facing right now, there's nothing impossible that God can't fix or change in your life. It doesn't mean you won't go through it, but it does mean you will come through it because of God. There can be healing today in your life, and we want to pray for that. Have you got something? Can you sing it? Can you help her do Shepherd's Call, Rodney? She does it. Yeah, come on up.
This is a beautiful song. They've not done this in a long time, but this song is called Shepherd's Call, and the shepherd is calling. If you've been in Sunday school for, you know, the last, well, Bill's changed it now, but if you were in Sunday school for a while, Bill did a series on the shepherd in Psalms 23 and what the shepherd means. Do you know that Jesus is your shepherd? You know what a shepherd's job is? To take care of the flock, to meet your need, to protect you, to feed you, to watch over you. We have the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, who watches, protects, feeds, and keeps our lives. And what I want to do is I sing this song this morning. If you want healing today, you need healing in your life, you are just broken and you need a restoration, you need renewed, you need strength to face what's coming up in the coming year. You say, Lord, I want to leave all these burdens here. I'm dumping everything off right now. And fill me, God, with the newness of life. I want you to come up here and stand along the altar, kneel, whatever you want to do. And then, but I want you to stay up here because we're going to pray together up here at the altar. We're going to pray together for healing for 2019 in your life. We are not having a New Year's Eve service this year. As you probably know, I didn't announce it. So this will be kind of like our New Year's prayer this year. So all that want to come to the altar, and we can all get around, however you want to scrunch, whatever, down the middle aisle. But I want us as a corporate church, if you need healing in your life, you want a restoration for 2019, you want a breakthrough in your life, you want a new season coming up, to make a step of faith and walk up here and let us pray together as a church body for that pouring out of God's strength in your life and healing. So if he's calling, step up and stay up here. We'll pray together.
Still recall heard the shepherd's call. That night long ago, how I still recall. When I lost my way, then I heard the shepherd's call.
Up here together for the last time in 2018, and I want to pray for healing for all of our lives. I know the culture has changed so much, but the Holy Spirit has not changed one bit. The Holy Spirit is still like fire. It can still pour up on you and change you in an instant, in a moment. When you're hungry enough, you'll be fed. When you're thirsty enough, you'll be filled. And as we stand up here today together, we want to pray for healing for this new year. Go ahead and play that, Jeremy. Father, we first of all thank you for 2018, all that you've done, all that you've been. We are alive and well, Lord. You kept us through another year. You kept us, Lord, and here we stand to still have breath in our body to praise our Lord. As long as there's breath, God, we should praise you. And we have breath. Thank you for watching over our children this year, our spouses, our siblings, those that we love, our church family. Thank you for all you've done in 2018. We are so blessed. Thank you for clothes on our back and food on our table, a good place to sleep. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. Thank you for Calvary, Lord, and the cross. Thank you for our redemption. Thank you for what you have done for our future. That, God, we will live a life forever because of what you have done. That death will not hold us. The grave will not keep us. Darkness will not cover us because of the resurrected Savior. So too we will have a resurrected, glorified body. Thank you for that, Lord. God, we stand before a holy God today, and we ask for healing, that your presence will pour upon us as fresh oil from the cup, that it will pour from our heads, that we even feel it now flowing down our bodies to the bottom part of our feet, touching all inside of us, restoring the brokenness, putting it back together, gluing the broken parts, God, and making us whole. We leave our burdens here. We leave everything bad now. We drop it off this wagon right here, right now. And we are prophesying and declaring the goodness of your mercy and your grace to fill our lives as we step into a new season. As we celebrate 2019, we celebrate it with you, calling you Lord, calling you Savior, calling you our Redeemer, calling you our Messiah. Thank you, God, for being the Lord of every year of our lives. And we pray for the brokenness right now to be fixed and to be healed, that we will be touched by your very presence. Holy Ghost fire, fill this place and fill this altar. Cover your people with your glory right now in the name of Jesus. Let the cloud of glory explode upon this altar, that we will experience all you have for us right now. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and honor and glory for it all, as we are being healed and restored and renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we declare it, and we praise you and give you honor and give you glory. In the name of Jesus. Let's just praise him for a minute, church. Let's just worship the Lord and give him honor right now. As his healing power is sweeping across this tabernacle, as his presence has chosen to visit this place today, as he, the master, is passing our way, this is your moment. This is your Galilee road right now. This is your burning bush experience. This is your Daniel and lion's den moment. This is God closing the enemy's mouths this year. This is God silencing all of that that's come against you. This is God taking the power out of those things that's held you down. It is time to declare the freedom that we have in Christ. You have set us at liberty, God. I will not be entangled again with that yoke of bondage, but I am set free by the one who sets me free. And we thank you and we praise you
and give you glory for it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God's going to do a new thing in some of your lives this year. God's got something planned that 2019 is your season. It didn't happen this year because it wasn't your season, but 2019 is going to be a season that God's going to bring you into to see things, experience things, and walk in things you've never experienced in any season before. It's going to be a season of hope, a season of renewal, a season of breakthrough, a season of purpose, a season that God is going to show you exactly what He wants you to do. A season, a destiny for 2019. God is going to move in your lives. Hallelujah. Okay, go ahead. Play. Y'all know this song. Let's sing it together while we're up here. Crank it up. We're going to go out celebrating today, church.
I will sing to the Lord. I will lift my voice, for You have heard my cry. I will sing to the Lord, and I will lift His hands, for You have brought me out of the pit, for You have praise You.
up here. If you're an usher, just stay up here for our offering.
Hey, the volume would need to be loud on that song, probably. Oh, yeah, it's a cassette tape.
Yeah. One more usher up here. That's okay.
And so, you can say, I want the Aunt Barbara loves this song, so this song's for Aunt Barbara.
Okay. All right, church, this will be the last time you're able to give the Living Word in this calendar year unless you PayPal it between now and Tuesday. So other than that, this will be it. So I'm saying all that to say this. Make it a good one. Close out this year. Be the last time you're able to give to the church. As you know, all your gifts are tax deductible, and you will be getting a letter next month or so to show what you've given for the year here at Living Word. So be the last opportunity to sow a seed in 2018 for the Lord. Thank you for a wonderful year. God's blessed our church this year, and we are so grateful for that and thankful. Father, we are grateful that we have seed to sow, that you have always provided that. You said you would give seed to the sower, and you surely have done that. And Lord, I just pray you take whatever measure of faith we sow today. You see the hearts of what people are going to give and what they can give. And I just pray you take that seed of faith they're planting, and you multiply it and grow it in their lives, and grow it for your kingdom, as this place is here, God, to impact the future lives of your people. We thank you, give you praise, bless the offering, and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Mel's going to sing his song, Rest in Me. Barbara, she thought about you on this. Rest in Me. So here we go.
I know you like this song. Place to rest, rest in me when you're weary, rest in me when you can't go home, rest in me, cause when you are weak, I will be strong. Rest in me, my yoke is easy, rest in me, and my burden is light, and I what you need, rest in me, rest in me. You may want to give up on this journey, thoughts that you won't make it may arise. Because the road is long and lonely, don't ever stop pressing toward the prize. And when you feel like your strength is gone and you barely have the power to stand, listen to the voice of Jesus saying, child, give me your trembling hand. Rest in me when you're weary. Rest in me when you can't go on. Rest in me, cause when you are weak, I will be strong. Rest in me, my yoke is easy. rest in me, and my burden is light, and I know just what you need. Rest in me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, come and lay your burdens down. Rest in me. When you're weary, rest in me. When you can't go on,
rest in me.
'Cause when you are weak,
I will be strong.
Rest in me, and my burden is light, and I know just what you need. Rest in me,
even on a ship. Rest in me, 'cause Jesus is bigger than a ship.
Know just what you need. Rest in me.
Guys, happy New Year to all of you, and I hope you have a wonderful New Year's Day, and we'll be together Wednesday night. We'll resume services, of course, Wednesday at 7 o'clock, so I hope you will make it. Tell you, I hope to see you Wednesday night. You plan on being here Wednesday night? You don't know? Well, I hope you are. So, well, let's stand together. We'll say our closing prayer and get you on your way today. Enjoy the rest of your day. Jesus, we are thankful for your healing touch that's been in this place today. We have felt your presence. We have felt your anointing, and we are grateful and we are thankful that you have visited us today. Thankful for your word, God, your gospel, the promise that we have in your word, the hope that we have. Thank you, Lord, for touching us. As we go in the new year, we just pray you direct our steps and that all we do in 2019, God, we honor you, that you direct our steps to where we follow your will and not our own, that we can walk into what you prepared for us. Protect and keep us, we go our separate ways. For those that are sick today and those that are traveling still, we pray for travel mercies and we pray for healing for their bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.